Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The guilt side of this case isn't attacking the evidence so much anymore. It's attacking the witnesses. The doctor's too old. The chaplain wasn't ordained. Even Clancy's face in the courtroom is getting entered as evidence. Every one of those attacks has a problem, and we're going to be going through some of them that have been being brought to light on the internet. The knock on Resnick is that he's 88 and only saw her for a few hours, 4 months after the killings. Okay. Dr. Max saw her for the first time in April of this year, 3 years after. That's not Mac's fault. The state's experts aren't allowed until the insanity defense is filed. But it's still 3 years. Resnick got there in 4 months. Max got there in 3 years. Is there more reliability to the other, Jen?
I don't have reliability on any of them. And that's why in all of these trials, expert testimony, sometimes it's not even allowed because they say, they're concerned about the jurors not following the evidence and instead taking the word of experts. I've seen it happen. It happens all the time. In this case, they are allowing it, but the judge has made it critically clear. These experts have no more weight on their testimony than anyone else. Mm-hmm. So there's zero more weight. So when you, each juror and all of us, we have to take into account each person who testified. Are they, you know, did they make sense? Was it congruent with the time of the of what happened? How long did they interview? What was the condition of the person they interviewed? You have to look at the totality. For me, the totality, when you're talking about a case that is this important, I am not basing it on what they had to say. I'm basing it on the facts before us, period. And that does mean, though, to Robin's point, what the husband said, what the mother said, what the mother-in-law said, what witnesses said, what the nanny said. So I base it on all of that, and the experts just cross, just X each other out. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you can have, I mean, that's when we're going through this case, I was going through it earlier today. It's like, okay, well, one side says this, and now the next expert says this and disagrees. And who's being paid for who and where side? It's how it always works.
You know, and there, I keep coming back to this one point we actually do have in common on this and where I do agree, and that is the premeditation side. I saw premeditation, you know, for a period of time before. It's just what we are disagreeing on is what you can and can't
do. What does it mean?
Right. It's like, for me, from what I'm understanding from the experts, is that you can actually plan in psychosis. You can actually plan and be premeditated in doing the horrendous things she did to her kids in psychosis. And so that's where it really comes down to, is like, I think half the, you know, large number of people don't believe she's in a psychotic postpartum state, and other people do. And that's because, again, there's no debating she killed her kids. There's no debating she's mentally ill. What I think the real debate is, was she in postpartum psychosis when she premeditated the killing of her kids? And again, that's what I think it comes down to ultimately. And again, it doesn't matter what us here thinks. It's it, we can do all the research out here we want, but again, it's what the jury is getting, it's what their impressions are, it's how it's being presented in the courtroom, it's Reddington's presentation, it's the prosecution's presentation, it's what's working, not working, and that's where, you know, we've got our, you know, our man Bob Mata on the scene in the courtroom, which we keep seeing every time they pan to the audience. So it's going to come down to that jury, and that's why these cases are debated like this, because they're exceptionally rough, and they're also very rare. Because Jen said at the very beginning, we don't know ourselves what was exactly in her mind. Everyone's just trying to figure it out because no one's listening to, because no one's believing her that she said, I heard these voices. Fair. She's the one on trial.
Jen, let's talk about what's going through a lot of people's minds, things that have absolutely nothing to do with the case directly, but have somehow made it to be part of people's opinions. It's not just the camps of we think she's responsible or not. It's, we think it's somebody else entirely that some people have gone to, which is not even up for debate. Like, she's admitted to doing this. There's no, like, back in the land of reality where we can certainly disagree about was she mentally there to be conscious of it. But this whole other camp is Patrick did it. And God knows how weird those stories get. Some have him going to such extremes where he's literally, you know, there with a voice changing device and being the voice of God to her, telling her that she needs to do that. I mean, it gets quite insane. What's your reaction to all of that and that world that has emerged out of this? Because I know you've seen tweets back at you in your feed from the opinions you've expressed that go way off base from your opinion. And it's not my, it's like a whole other category out there.
It is a whole nother category. And I think it's induced because this is so insane to think that some voice told her to kill her three kids. And like I always say, well, did they also say, call your husband and make sure he's away? Did they say to Google? Did they particularly say to use the exercise bands? And when one exercise band maybe wasn't tight enough, move to the next exercise band and do them one by one. And by the way, in between, order Pedialax and talk and make phone calls. I mean, what did these voices really do, right? So when you start getting in what I think is absolute conjecture and out there, now you have people springboard off that and say, oh, well, if it's the mystical voice, what if it was Patrick's? What if Patrick really did it? And they try to infuse really ridiculous notions that don't line up with the evidence to comport with this thought. But that's what everybody else is doing too with the psychosis theory. Because they're taking facts that don't comport with somebody in psychosis, which I just named, to the voice made me do it. The voice that, by the way, was never mentioned, even though she mentioned killing her kid or hurting her kids, not killing, harming her kids to both her parents. That the voices never came in until after.
Welcome to psychosis.
She was only psychotic at the time. By the way,
that's how that works.
I'm going errands and now I'm going psychotic.
Yeah, I mean, Jen, that's just kind of how that works. I mean, you can be in that state.
You just don't like the definition of psychosis.
Well, I mean,
you don't agree with it.
It's like what you're describing is like, yeah, that's how. I mean, there's people who are in a psychotic state that think they're being watched, that there's hidden cameras everywhere, and they could sit here and conduct their normal day. There are cameras everywhere. Oh shit.
Well, the good thing, we all do agree that we think the ideas of Patrick doing this are really ludicrous. Yeah. So there you go. There's another area we do agree on, is that those are, you know, you have nutters and then you have supreme ultra nutters, and those are ones.
You were talking about the voice. There's a theory that the voice was invented for her malpractice lawsuit. The lawsuit was filed in January 26th. The chaplain says Clancy told her about the voice in the first week, still intubated. And she described the voice to Mac too. Male, laughing, telling her it was her last chance. She told the prosecution's own doctor about the voice. Why would a faker, I guess, do that? I mean, and then also the chaplain saying that, yeah, she told me about it early on too. So, you know, it was there from early on before anybody's like lining up attorneys to sue anybody.
it's still after the act, not before the act. Tony, have you ever watched Harry Potter?
Actually, no.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
Have you, Robin?
Yeah, I've read all the books and watched it, yeah.
Okay. She was literally Professor Umbridge. It was like unbelievable for those in the audience. The chaplain, in my opinion, look, you know it. 200 visits at a hospital she wasn't even assigned to. She absolutely wrote out, in my opinion, scripted what she was going to say. The verbiage she has is absolutely out there. Her, you know, and turning, no, I don't believe the chaplain, but this is the biggest reason the fact pattern tells me it's not the chaplain. 200 plus visits. She wrote all of these notes, and the jury's going to get all of this. All of these perfect notes, even quoted her. Never once touched on the alleged, because that's what she says, alleged voice. Never, ever mentions that. But, you know, copious notes on everything else. That was one of the most unbelievable performative witnesses I've ever seen. That's my
I didn't see her as performative. I saw her as definitely different. There's no doubt. Her presentation was different. Her, you know, I'm with you, though. Her, and she explained it well, and they got her on cross. You know, I get the reasons why she didn't write it down. And it definitely hurt her. Not writing down, you know, writing down a few quotes and not writing down those big ones, I'm with you. That hurt her credibility for hearing those voices. But I found the consistency of her to be up there just because she did see Lindsay for a amount of time. But, you know, but I, when I took that one, that, like, if she stood alone, if she was the only one that said anything about the voices, I'm like, that's pretty sketchy. But again, it's one more data point of what was presented, because I'm with you. Her not writing it down, even though she's not required to write it down. She said, I'm not one of these mental health professionals. I'm not required to do this. I do this for my own note-taking capabilities and refresh my memory. So all those reasons, they made complete sense. But at the same time, if you would hope that given what actually transpired, she'd have that awareness enough, I better write this shit down because that's a big one. So I'm with you on that. I won't disagree. It would have been helpful if she did.
There's a lot in this case.
I don't think it happened. That's why she didn't.
Maybe.
Yeah.
See, I mean, in the world of maybe.
There's a lot where it's like, maybe this should have been done differently. Maybe this should have done better. Maybe you shouldn't have gone out and gotten takeout when your wife has said these horrible things that are, you know, going through her mind. I get it. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of things you look back on and go, at that moment, I wasn't thinking that way. For those of everybody who was caught in the ether of Lindsay Clancy.
Yeah, because I'm sorry, let me add one more thing. You know, let's reverse it for a second, you know, just for understanding why she wouldn't do that. So here you are, you're a chaplain. You were a professional. She's a vice president. I think she's, again, everyone that's much more fact and detail oriented. I don't have all my notes in front of me. She's an executive at a VP level for some company for, I think she said, 10 or 15 years before she decided to move on to be a chaplain. And so she, from what I gathered from her testimony and when they're going through her credentials, that she wanted to make these connections. She wanted, and I think a lot of it was volunteer time she did too in there. So I saw someone who's extremely empathetic, trying to make a difference in people that were hurting, and that's her role as a chaplain in these hospitals when she went in there and was touching base not just with Lindsay, but all these patients that were in there. That was her role. She saw that. She saw herself as a humanitarian. I don't think at the top of her mind when she's doing these sorts of things that she'd be called to testify at this level. If you reverse and you put yourself in that situation, would you really be thinking that? Because she's not a medical professional, she doesn't have to chart anything she does, and so it would be a major blip of something she would have had to have done that she's never done before. That's why I'm reasonably saying it would have been better if she had, but yeah. I understand why she didn't.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was a blip. The only reason the defense put her on was for that one reason.
Sure.
She really should have never been called, to be honest with you, because that wasn't her job, but because
she's
willing to say that, and this is the quote, right, that Lindsay alluded to a voice. and alluded. She said it each time, alluded to him. What does that even mean?
No, she said what the voice actually specifically said.
Oh, if you look at it, though, it's alluded. She each time prefaced what was alluded. And to me, she was, I didn't buy anything she said. And I think she wanted to be on TV.
You know what really helped for me with her was when Resnick came in and did a deeper dive and understanding of what that actually, so what the chaplain was saying, and what she said was that the first thing that Lindsay said was, and again, if I misquote it, I apologize, my children are safe now. And then when Resnick came in and explained what Lindsay said the voice said to her 4 months later was that the voice said the only way for your children – yeah, look it up if you can, Jen. The only way for your children to be safe is for you to kill them and then to take care of yourself as well. And so her mental state was that in order for my children, which is their main motivation in life, which is that life arc through all the other testimony, was her children's safety and well-being. The command voice comes in there. And then Resnick took it that next level from his diagnosis was that it wasn't just a voice, but in some cases of postpartum psychosis, they're actually physically unable to stop from doing what they're doing from that command voice. And so that's what, so when I put those two together, I was like, oh, now I understand why she used that wording because of this. And so again, never just one data point. That's what I sucked it in from both.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there. There, and at the end of the day, as much as, you know, I think, you know, everybody's argument, you know, holds, it's very complicated. The facts are as we understand them at the end of the day. None of us know what the hell was going on in her mind. A jury of her peers also don't know what was going on in her mind. Very quickly, because I want to get onto Nolan Wells. I don't want to go over this a thousand ways. Where do you think it lands, Jen? Because this might be the last time we're on the air before there is a verdict. Yeah. Do you think guilty, not guilty, hung jury? Where do you think it goes?
With this? Most likely a hung jury.
Yeah.
But if I had to lean one way or the other, I think she will be found not guilty by reason of insanity. Whether I agree with it or not,
sure. That's where you think it lands. Robin?
Yeah, I agree with Jen on this. I see, look, another point. I think it's probably going to be hung. Yeah. Just because, again, when you look at the makeup of what they said the jury's made up of, you had more women on there than men. But again, it's hard to tell. We're not in that courtroom. But I'm agreeing with Jen just from public sentiment, what we're seeing. It's leaning more towards the Lindsay side right now in public sentiment,
get a unanimous jury, though. I think we're going to end up with a hung jury as well. I don't see any way this ever gets tried where you get a unanimous jury. Don't.
It's rough.
I hope it's not guilty by reason of insanity, but I don't know. I don't know that you're going to get everybody there. Not
criminally responsible, I think.
Yeah, criminally responsible. Yeah, I just don't know. But fascinating discussion. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.